Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Life in this world has often been described as a veil of tears. And this phrase, this veil of tears, is an old English way of saying a valley of tears. And that expression comes from a single Bible verse, Psalm 84, verse 6. If you want to look it up in your hymnal, beginning of your hymnal, Psalm 84, verse 6, or in your English Bible, in your pew Bible, you'll notice that most English Bibles today translate that as veil. They don't say veil of tears. They just use the Hebrew word baka. Psalm 84, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, O Lord. As they grow through the valley of baka, they make it a place of springs." The valley of baka. That Hebrew word baka, which is just left in there for you, well, it's related to the word for weeping. It's the word for crying. The valley of weeping, the valley of sorrows, the veil of tears. It's a way of describing pilgrimage of God's people here on earth. In this life, through this valley of tears, we're on our way to God's eternal kingdom. And even though our English Bibles and even our hymnal don't use the phrase valley of tears, it's still well known to us. The valley of tears is well known to all of us, as you have just witnessed yourself. You see, the valley of tears is not excluded for God's saints. And we who believe in Jesus, we are all His saints by the power of holy baptism. You are His saints. So on this All Saints Day, we rejoice. We rejoice because, yes, life in this world is a veil of tears. But the day is coming when God will wipe away the tears from our faces forever. And as we live in this world, well, it truly is a veil of tears. Pop psychology talks to us and says, well, don't worry about that. That's unhealthy to think about that. Even our advertisers and marketers say it's unnecessary, that there shouldn't be that. How many TV ads have you seen promising something that will take away the pain, take away the sorrow, and make you just happy? This product or that service will just fix it and make you happy so that you will not have tears anymore. Dear Christian friends, in this life there's no escape from tears. No matter what the products are or the services that people try to sell you, there are tears. Tears of pain. Tears of pain. Tears of grief over death, grief for a loved one. As we go through our daily life, there's tears caused by injustice, persecution. As Jesus says, we will have persecution. That brings tears. Tears for loneliness. How many people in our lives are lonely? Feel rejected. Tears come from that too. And as we go through this life together, we shed tears too in sympathy with each other. Because when you know how much it can hurt, you can hurt with a person too. And it's okay when those tears come for that. As you sympathize or empathize with someone who is in physical pain, with someone who is going through grief, with someone who is lonely or rejected or depressed or persecuted. And I add one more thing, as if that weren't enough. All those external things. There's one more thing that we should shed a tear for. That's our own sin and guilt. When we actually realize who we are before God. In Luke chapter 7, we hear this, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he, Jesus, was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears." How much crying is that? "She began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet, anointing them with the ointment." And Peter, the disciple, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, in a few minutes, as we say, during the sacrament, on the night in which he was betrayed, when Peter betrayed him too, Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he wept bitterly. Dear Christian friends, if we saw our own guilt and our own sin, we too should weep bitterly. Psalms describe the grief of life in pretty vivid terms. Psalm 31 says this, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief. My soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away." Even in our happiest moments in life, there's often some sorrow. Author Henry Nouwen observes, "There's a quality of sadness that pervades all the moments of our lives. It seems there is no such thing as clear-cut pure joy, that even in the most happy moments of our existence, we sense a tinge of sadness. In every satisfaction, there's an awareness of limitations. In every success, there's the fear of jealousy. Behind every smile, there's a tear. In every embrace, there's loneliness. In every friendship, distance. And in all forms of life, there is a knowledge of surrounding darkness. When you touch the hand of a returning friend, you already know that he will have to leave you again. But this intimate experience, in which every bit of life is touched by a bit of death, can point us beyond the limits of our existence. It can do so by making us look forward in expectation to the day when our hearts will be filled with perfect joy, a joy that no one can take away from us. You see, in compassion for us, Jesus came into our veil of tears. When the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, God heard their cries and He rescued them. When Hagar was cast into the wilderness alone with her son Ishmael, God heard her cries. When Hannah was childless, God heard her cries. And He hears your cries too, dear friends. Psalms speak of God storing up our tears in a bottle and God keeping a record of them in a book. But God does so much more than just noticing our tears. In Christ, He entered into our valley of sorrows. There was no room for His parents at the inn. Yet Jesus came. And soon afterwards, after His birth, Herod would come seeking His life. And many mothers of slaughtered infant boys would shed many tears too. That's this world. That's this world in which we live. That's this world into which Jesus came. And He comes and He weeps with us. He weeps with Mary and Martha over the death of their brother Lazarus. He weeps over Jerusalem, the coming divine judgment for Jerusalem, as He goes to His own death. And as He contemplates His own death, as He contemplates His own bitter betrayal and His own persecution and His own abandonment and His own suffering and death, yes, He weeps too. But Jesus Christ comes to do more than simply weep. More than just to cry with the sorrowful. He comes to take away our tears. To the widow at Nain, Jesus comes to raise her dead son, saying, "Do not weep." To those waiting at the death of a man's little daughter, He says, "Do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping." At first they mock Him, but soon the girl is alive again, and their tears are turned to joy. And what Jesus did there is what He's going to do first for Himself, and for all of your loved ones, and indeed for you too. To Mary Magdalene, weeping in the garden outside His own tomb, He comes and says, "Mary." He speaks her name, and her tears are gone, turned into the joy of the resurrection, His resurrection, and indeed all of our resurrection. This world is a veil of tears, but our tears here are temporary. Listen to this. This is God's promise to you. Jesus Himself says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take the joy from you." In their tale, A Goose Girl at the Well, the brothers Grimm tell of a maiden who wept pearls instead of tears. According to the story, the young princess had been harshly driven away from her royal home, and her father's kingdom, well, had been given away to her two older sisters. The two ugly sisters, right? When I grew up, we called them the two sister uglies. Well, they're the ones who had inherited the kingdom, so-called. And she fled into the forest, crying. So the path she took was strewn with pearls from all her many tears. She was given refuge in a little house in the forest by an old woman. And eventually, when her parents, the king and the queen, came and found her, they were overjoyed. But the king had nothing to give to her. He had already given his kingdom away to the two older sisters. And then the old woman who had taken her in said, "She needs nothing. For I give her the countless pearls from all the tears of sadness she has shed these years. They are precious pearls, finer than those that are found in the sea, and worth way more than your whole kingdom." Thus the princess, according to the story, lived happily ever after. In real life, children do not weep pearls. But the scriptures do tell us that the time of weeping will end, and that God's people will live happily ever after, if you like the phrase. Because in that day, God has stored up for them a treasure which is better than all the pearls and all of the ocean. The treasure that you will receive is the kingdom of heaven. All those drops of bitter, salty sorrow, God will transform into beautiful, precious pearls. The day is coming when St. John's revelation, that vision of his, will happen. We will see it, and it will be our own vision. A huge multitude from every nation, all clad in white, with palm branches, worshiping the Christ, our Savior, Jesus, for what He has done for us. No hunger, no thirst, no tears. The blood of the Lamb will have made all the difference. Our robes will be washed white in His blood. This is Jesus' promise to you. In that day, God will wipe every tear from your eye. And as we wait for the day, God will dry our tears. We look for opportunities to dry the tears of others. to extend to them God's own compassion, to bring them the good news of Jesus. Jesus who saw our tears, who entered them, who carried them, and who cleansed them by His blood. One day He will wipe every tear from their eyes as well. Today we celebrate God's faithfulness to those who have died in the faith, whose struggles and whose sorrows are over, whose tears have ended. God's saints have shed many tears in this world. But for His saints in heaven, there is no more crying, just joy. Jesus Himself promises, they will behold the face of God, and God will behold them. He will reach out His nail-marked hands and wipe every tear from their eyes. God grant this to us all, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise.